Romans chapter 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's our lesson. This is, as a dear preacher brother said to me not long ago, this is a deep book. It's difficult in a way, yet what we read is like all the rest of the scriptures. It means just what it says. Last time we looked at the first 13 verses and we considered the answer to the question, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? It was a blessing for me, I hope it was for you, to consider that we who believe in Christ as our Savior declared our union with Him in our baptism. I think I said this before. The more I read this, the more I study this, the more I'm sure that water baptism is a believer's confession of his faith and his identification with Christ. Who wouldn't want to be baptized and follow him and say by that, I've died to sin, I'm crucified with Christ, I've been raised to walk in a new life. Praise God for that. God takes the worst of sinners, the most despicable people that you can imagine, who never thought one thing about the grace and mercy of God, and suddenly God does a work in their life and turns them completely around so that they begin to live and walk in holiness and uprightness, in honesty, and in justice, and in integrity. What a change comes to the old sinner. How many people, I'm thinking about a man right now that I know, he's still living, a dear friend. He was a drunk. You know what a drunk is. He couldn't leave the liquor alone. And he just sucked whiskey and stuff all the time. Well, it was Easter Sunday back in 1967 or somewhere around there. And here he was with his little blonde wife about half his height. And he was sitting back about the middle of the congregation. And at the end of the service, I asked if there was anyone who wanted to come and profess their faith in Christ. And here he come. He stood up and unfolded himself. And he bent over and he walked drudgingly up to the front. And he said, I believe Jesus is my Savior. That day, he went home with his wife and he had bottles and bottles of liquor. He poured them all out and broke the bottles. He said, no chance of filling them again. And to this day, that man still loved the Lord and God's doing a marvelous work in his life. He is a real blessing to all that know him. What he does to sinners is marvelous. Wow. What he done for me is marvelous. Well, our first verse, verse 14 says this. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. The phrase have dominion over comes from a Greek word that is found seven times in the New Testament. And it's translated this way in the other places. Exercise lordship over. Be Lord of. Be Lord. Sin shall not have dominion over us. What does it say? We who yielded ourselves as willing instruments of unrighteousness unto sin before we believed, now in believing are yielding ourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead. And sin, he says, shall not positively have a dominion over us. It's not going to have supreme authority over us. Sin will not have the power of governing us and controlling us any longer. Its power was broken at the cross. Now, remember, every one of us have to admit this. We were willing slaves to sin. It ran our life. We were sold under sin. And because of that, we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. Thank God we've been changed. We've been redeemed. We've been turned around. Well, sin won't have dominion on us because we're not under the law. The law tells us we're sinners. We're not under the law. We're under grace. That set us free. Hey, you are free. Don't you believe that? Christ has set you free. Well, then the next verse asks the question, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. We don't want to do that. We could, And we do fall into sin, but we don't want that. As children of the new covenant, we're under grace. And we walk in the Spirit, not according to the law, but according to the perfect law of liberty, the New Testament. I hope you got that. What's the purpose of the law? I just want to say it again. It came to make sin appear exceedingly sinful. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for sinners and profane. It shows them their sin. So no, we're not going to sin because we're not under the law. God forbid. I like that word. I like that term. May it not be. May it never be. Emphatically not. Now, look at verse 16. Know ye not, don't you know this, that to whom ye yield yourselves to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey. The word servants is the word doulos, slaves. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience to righteousness. All of you are acquainted with the laws of servitude. You know what's required in such cases. Be known to all who had either known about masters and slaves. We see that in the scriptures and we understand that. Slave had no rights. He had to yield all to his master. So if a person gives himself over to the master of sin, it brings death. If you yield yourself to something, then it becomes your master. The key word here is if you yield. I hope you have it in your heart. No, I won't. I purpose not to do that. I want to serve the Lord in obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17, Paul explained, but God be thanked that you were the servants or the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And we were servants of sin and bondage to it. This expression, the form of doctrine, talks about the whole idea of the gospel of grace. It wasn't something that we obeyed by merely giving intellectual assent, but it came from our heart, the very depths of our being, a heart that was renewed by the new birth. This form of doctrine means the instruction. The gospel is full of instruction. It teaches us about what we were and what Christ came to do for his people. It's the very words of God that are preached in their context from the Holy Scriptures. You probably should mark this in your Bible. This is a good summary of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6. Read this with me. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 1 through 6. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. See, there are people that make professions of Christ, but it doesn't come from their heart, and their belief is in vain. Even the devil believes and he trembles. But it's a belief that comes from the heart. Paul said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. I want you to notice that. Christ died for our sin according to the scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament scriptures. It was prophesied that he would die for our sin. He suffered for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes we are healed. We were all like sheep going astray, and the Father laid on him the iniquities of us all. But according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. There's a group of people that call themselves Christians that say that Jesus did not rise from the grave in a body. That's a lie. Paul said he rose the third day from the burial. And he was seen of Cephas, that is Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. You talk about a thing that is well documented. More than 500 people saw our Savior alive after he was risen from the dead. I'd say that's pretty authentic. Do you doubt it? I believe, and I'm sure, just as much if I had been there and watched him be nailed to that cross, taken down and buried in a barred tomb, and saw the stone rolled away, and my Savior had risen out of that thing, and today has ascended back into heaven, where he's there making intercession for us as our great high priest. I know it's true. I'm assured of it. No question about it. Verse 18 says, being then made free from sin. How was that? By the gospel, by believing that Jesus was the Christ. He broke the bond of our sin. He forgave us all our trespasses, and we're free from sin. And we became the servants of righteousness. But he gave us some help. After that we believed, we were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The helper, our teacher, our prayer warrior. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that teaches us the truth. We became the servants of righteousness. There was an old Methodist preacher said, do right if the stars fall. And that's what God's people do, is do right. Do the right thing. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. In other words, like men usually speak, I'm drawing an illustration from common life in order to make myself better understood. For as you've yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, that's what you did in the past. You let yourself loose. You took your eyes, your ears, your hands, and your feet, and you served sin. And it went from iniquity to more iniquity. Sin and more sin, and like it snowballed. Even so now, in the same way, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. There's an old preacher years ago was on a train in China. Folks came in and said to him, "We'd like to play a game of cards with you." He said, "I can't." They said, "Why not?" He said, "I have no hand." They said, "What do you mean you have no hand?" He said, "These are Christ's hands. I can't play cards with these hands. I can't look at that that's wicked. I can't listen to that that is lies and unjust. I cannot walk into a place of ill repute. Can't take my hand and do wickedness." No, because it just brings more hurt, more sin, more heartache. But I want to yield my members, servants to righteousness, toward holiness. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know what holiness is? Brother Mike Burnham did a study on holiness. It was marvelous, it's wonderful. It's not perfection, but as people look at one of God's children that's walking in holiness, it looks like perfection. It's above the rest of the world. It's a cut above. We don't live like the world lives. We don't mind the whims of the world, and we don't obey all of the things that the world says is right, because most of it is wrong. It's a horrible thing to admit, but before we were saved, we didn't have any righteousness. Not only that, we didn't want any. We serve sin every minute of every hour of every day. We were sold to it and slaves under it. And we were opposed. You hear that? We were opposed and antagonistic to all that was good and just and righteous. We threw off the yoke of the law of righteousness and lived in a very unrighteous and wicked manner. We were willing subjects. We wanted to because we were by nature evil, born in sin, totally free to do evil, but free from all that was good and right. That's what we were. And the Lord turned us around. Paul asked the question in verse 21, "What fruit had you then? And those things whereof you're now ashamed. For the end of those things is death." What a serious question. What fruit had you then in those things? My, heard the testimony of so many. "I'm so ashamed of my life of wickedness, sin, and debauchery." We tried to witness to a dear one who was in the family. We tried to tell her about the Lord. And she looked at Jan and I, and she stuck her finger in our face, and she said, "I don't ever want you to say anything about that again." And we said, "Okay, we won't." And we didn't. She's a wicked woman. One morning, Early in the morning, the phone rang, and it was her. She said, "I want to talk to Leon." I said, "Hello." She said, "Leon, this is..." I said, "Well, hello, how are you?" "I just got saved. I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Why didn't I see it before? Why was I so wicked? I don't understand it." I think I understand it. Praise God. So glad for you to say that. God called you to himself at his time. What a joy to hear that. I tell you, as long as they're alive, there's hope. Keep praying. A dear young man, when we were in Europe, pastor of the Friendship Baptist Church in Wiesbaden, Germany, a young man worked on a flight line. And I heard after we left that he got out of the Air Force and married a missionary's daughter. And they went to Indonesia, and he became a pilot that carried the missionaries back and forth to their places where they preached. One morning he called early in the morning, "Brother King, rejoice with me." He said, "This is Bill." I said, "Yeah, I know who it is." He said, "My dad got saved." He said, "I know you were praying for him, and I know I wanted you to know, but now he's been saved. Now he's believed. So keep praying. Long as they're alive, there's hope." Brethren, we had no fruit in those things of which we're now ashamed. I don't even want to hear about that stuff. I don't like to be around people that talk wicked talk. Oh, listen. Before we were converted, we had a vile, wicked heart, which was desperately wicked. I hear people say, "I believe that with all my heart." You know, a man's a fool that believes his heart. He needs to believe this. This is the truth. Jesus said, out of the heart, out of the very center of man, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. That comes out on the tongue comes from the heart. That which moves the hands and the eyes and the ears and the feet comes from the heart. But thank God we have a new heart. So verse 22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God," that's what we are as God's children, "you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." The Lord freed us from the bondage of sin and corruption and made us willing servants to God. Now the Holy Ghost dwells in us and he produces in us fruit. Every one of you have this fruit to some degree. What we want to do is yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that this fruit increases. What is this fruit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what God works in the lives of his people to various degrees. Some bear fruit 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. What a blessing to see a person whose life is characterized by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And in the end, we have what? Everlasting life. Well, brothers and sisters, we're never, ever going to die. Oh, this body is dead already because of sin. But Jesus said, he that believes in me shall never die. Because we're good? No. Not one. It's because he's good. He is the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's what he said about Lazarus. Jesus came to that gravesite. What a sight. What a day. Lazarus had been dead 4 days. The stone on the cave. And he said, roll the stone away. He said 3 words. Lazarus, come forth. And he was dead. Came out of that grave in his grave clothes. Praise God. Jesus is the resurrection. And it closes with this last verse that we all know. We know the wages of sin is death. We see that all around us. How many wicked men there are and the awful things they do. But thank God for the message we heard Sunday about don't fret over them. God will take care of them in due time. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, wages is what people earn by their sin. And the wages of sin is death. It's sure. It's positive. It will happen. And death, it'll be the second death when those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast away from the Lord forever and forever and forever. God's gift. Something I couldn't earn. Something I could not deserve. Eternal life. I deserved death and hell. But God's gift by his grace and his mercy is eternal life through Jesus Christ, who paid for our sin debt. Gift is something we receive by God's mere pleasure. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. But listen. He set his everlasting love on sinners just like you and I to give us eternal life through his blessed Son. I hope all of you believe, and if you haven't yet, I hope you will this very night believe that Jesus is a Christ. Come to him. Cry to him. Lord, remember me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Thank you. Amen.